one-point game.
Dear basketball, from the moment I started rolling my dad's tube socks and shooting imaginary game-winning shots in the Great Western Forum, I knew one thing was real. I fell in love with you. A love so deep, I gave you my all. From my mind and body, my spirit and soul. As a six-year-old boy, deeply in love with you, I never saw the end of the tunnel. I only saw myself running out of one. And so I ran. I ran up and down every court after every loose ball for you. You asked for my hustle. I gave you my heart, because it came with so much more. I played through the sweat and the hurt. Not because challenge called me, but because you called me. I did everything for you. Because that's what you do when someone makes you feel as alive as you've made me feel. You gave a six-year-old boy his Laker dream. And I'll always love you for it. But I can't love you obsessively for much longer. This season is all I have left to give. My heart can take the pounding. My mind can handle the grind. But my body knows it's time to say goodbye. And that's okay. I'm ready to let you go. I want you to know now, so we both can savor every moment we have left together. The good and the bad. We have given each other all that we have. And we both know, no matter what I do next, I'll always be that kid with the rolled up socks, garbage can in the corner, 5 seconds on the clock, ball in my hands. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Love you always, Kobe.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Farm Radio. I want to thank all of you today who took the time to tune into the show, as this is officially the Kobe Bryant tribute show, in which I will be here until 1 o'clock today, and it will all be about Kobe Bryant. And the fact that also I will have a special guest today on the show, award-winning journalist and veteran sports writer Gerald Hoover. He'll join us at 12:30 Eastern Time. 9:30 a.m. Pacific time from Los Angeles to talk about the death of Kobe, as well as the perspective of what's going on in Los Angeles and so forth. And you're welcome to call in the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We were on for an hour yesterday, and I didn't really get the opportunity to explain why I decided to do a 3-hour show today. But I posted a video, I tweeted it out yesterday for those who may or may not have seen it. But this is the first time I'll explain why now, and I'm going to do my best to do exactly just that. Because simply put, I strongly felt that 1 hour wasn't going to be sufficient, and that the truth was, and still is, there's still a lot of unspoken, unsaid things that I felt over the last 2 days. And the one thing that I definitely want to say more than anything else is that we can sit here and we can talk about all sorts of things when it came to Kobe, when it came to the fact that he really took the time and planned what he wanted to do outside of basketball. And I got to tell you, even 2 days later, and it hasn't been that long, but there's still a feeling of disbelief of just how much shock there is. And even right now, that Kobe Bryant is no longer here with us. And you could go on social media, you can go all over Instagram, Twitter. I haven't been on Facebook in a little more than 2 weeks. I had a personal Facebook, but I decided to deactivate it. So I can only imagine what's going on Facebook right now. But the fact of the matter is, people all over the world are grieving this loss, and this loss is truly at such a monumental level in which that even when I was trying to explain this to my mom, I struggled in a sense of really finding the words to really explain why his passing has certainly sent such a massive shockwave throughout the world, not only just here in the United States, but to basketball fans all over. And even now, I would say that I don't think there will ever be enough words to adequately describe the pain that's still there. I'll be first to admit that it's still there. I really, and just like so many others, are still, trying to grapple with the fact that he's gone at 41 years old. And for everything that I've ever wanted to do, and ever since I found out about the passing on Sunday afternoon, I said to myself that I want to do a tribute show. And that yesterday I was hoping to be on for 2 hours, but that didn't work out because others had their regular scheduled programming. But today, there was a window of opportunity, and I took it and I ran with it. And I sincerely hope that to everyone who's listening and to those who've tuned in, that I hope that my radio program truly does do justice, and that it does hopefully begin to try to put pieces into words as to the level in which that this really has impacted me and as well as the sports world all around. So with that being said, I just want to tell everybody you can call into the show to discuss your thoughts and your feelings at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. The phone lines are open. I'm here with you today until 1 o'clock, 3-hour show. This is all Kobe Bryant, all about Kobe Bryant today. And even then, I know this is Super Bowl week. I'm very much aware that we have a Super Bowl on Sunday in which I am excited. I'm looking forward to, but right now it still feels a bit it's significant. And later in the week, perhaps, should I be on the air again before my regularly slotted show on Saturday, we'll talk about the Super Bowl, no question. But this wound is still too fresh. This wound is still raw. And this feeling is still there. Still absolutely there. And the one thing I'll say in terms of Kobe is that Kobe's place, and we'll talk about this throughout the 3 hours in spades, in pieces and so forth. Kobe was that sports figure in which that we heard about the Mamba mentality. We heard about his unrelenting drive to want to be the best at what he was pursuing in his craft. And I gotta tell you, he did a damn good job of laying the foundation and setting the groundwork and then some from the time in which that he came into the league and he saw how much Jordan had impacted the game of basketball. And without question, Kobe Bryant was, without question, the second best basketball player that I've ever saw after Jordan. But he's right there next to him. He's right there. And this is much more greater than basketball. This is bigger than sports. This is bigger than what anything that I've ever experienced in terms of sports-related deaths that I've experienced in my lifetime. And I think it's appropriate that we really pause and take the time to reflect on some of your memories of how Kobe has impacted you and how he has affected you. And in fact, during the very next segment, I'm actually going to talk about that in great length. How Kobe impacted me in terms of my life, as well as the mentality in which I have began to really pick up on little by little. So coming up next, we're going to talk about the impact that Kobe has had on me. So stay tuned for that. But first, I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity that we have now to do the PSA, which is brought to you by 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. So we're going to do the PSA real quick before we go to music.
Very dangerous in your home. It could be hiding in a closet or waiting in the basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item.
Hey, hon, do me a favor and hold the ladder for me.
I have a better idea. Let's just call somebody to clean the gutters.
To scoop out a few leaves? I'll be down in a heartbeat. Whoa! Ow!
No!
Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep your bones safe, strong, and well-connected.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, on Touch Free Form Radio. We're going to go to a music break in just one more moment. In fact, as soon as I can pull up a song. In fact, I have a perfect idea. I think this song is befitting of the occasion. So I hope you enjoy the song as much as I will. And in that we can all begin the process of healing. Because we all need it right now. So this song is called Lean On Me by Bill Withers. And as I mentioned, I hope and I sincerely pray that this song is befitting of the very occasion in which that we're doing the show on in tribute to Kobe Bryant. Here we go.
Just might have have a problem that you understand. We all need somebody to lean on. If there is a load you have to bear that you can't carry, I'm right up the road. I'll share your load if you just call. If you need a friend, call me, call me,
call me.
If you need a friend,
call me.
If you ever need
call
a friend,
call me,
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 call me.
If you need a friend,
call me.
Party affected by the passing of someone you didn't know personally, and someone's passing, part of you can pass too, part of your childhood. We all might remember where we were when he had 81, or that trip you took to the game with your parents where he didn't flinch when Barnes checked the ball, or how every time you threw out a piece of paper, you yelled, Kobe! I remember how Kobe's Instagram page recently turned into a love note for his daughters. It's all part of life. To be affected by someone's passing is compassion in the most pure form, which is to say, to suffer with, quite literally. And in that way, we think of Vanessa and Natalia and Bianca and Capri and the Altobelli, Chester, Zabaya, and Mauser families. We walk with them in their suffering. We share their path. It's in this way we carry forward Gigi, whose story was just being told. It's in that way we carry all we have lost. Because the fact is, no one's path is theirs alone. No one's life served one purpose. Kobe Bryant, again, exceptional in this regard, in the ways he united people, encouraged people, provided a mentality, the way his life had complexity and tribulations. We consider his death and his life as we speak of the fullness of it and all those who were part of it. This is grace to amplify the best of ourselves. You can't live a life untouched by grief or tragedy. There are feelings you never want to feel, you never forget, but they are feelings you must give voice to. It might be the best tool we have to process. I heard it said by some, it feels worse today. It's a key point in recovery. It doesn't get better with time, it gets better with time and work. So consider letting your work be and how you voice your feelings and talk about other people, talk about people's lives in full, carry forward their spirit. Most importantly, be with the ones in your life and allow them, even in loss, to always be with you. We lost our only Kobe Bryant this week. There will never be another.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tus Free Farm Radio. That was extremely beautifully said by Tony Reale of ESPN, and I couldn't agree more. I sincerely couldn't agree more in terms of it's okay to grieve. It's okay to be affected by someone's passing you didn't know personally. Part of you can pass too. And that, and I want to quote exactly what the very key piece that he said that resonated with me so deeply. That he said, quote, it's okay to be affected by the passing of someone you didn't know personally. Part of you can pass too. To be affected by loss is compassion in its most pure form. To suffer with, quite literally. And in that way, we carry all we have lost. That was said by Tony Reale. And one of the things in which that that has driven me to do and pursue the very career and the passion in which that I have in being a sports broadcaster, a radio broadcaster is the fact that sports in times like this has the power to unite people, to bring people together in moments like this, in which that we are all affected one way or another by the passing of Kobe, and in which that I strongly feel that it's so important, and we need this now more than ever, compassion. You don't have to know someone personally to grieve. Don't ever let anyone tell you otherwise. It's okay to cry. It's okay to have moments where you shed a tear or two. It's okay to feel pain. That doesn't make you weak. If anything, it makes you stronger as a human being. And don't listen to the noise of social media or anyone else tell you that you didn't know him personally, so you shouldn't be crying. No. I cry or shed a tear because that's what compassion does. And it wasn't just him that we lost. There were children on this plane. Coach Adebeli and his daughters, and another teammate, Gianna and his wife. There were life. It was life that we lost. And to think about all of this all together, it's a terrible, terrible feeling, especially as human beings, in which that to love, to have something that you love and you adore taken away from you so suddenly without warning. I can't begin to imagine what that feels like. But especially to Brian's family, to Coach Adebali's family and friends, the fact that his child is home and no longer has a mom and dad, and the fact that there's so much loss of life, including obviously Kobe's, but he wasn't the only one, in a sense of the people who we all should be grieving for. And I say that not so much to say, oh, you should cry for this person or you should grieve for that person. No, but just the sheer loss of life in the way that it happened. There's strength in compassion. There's no weakness in showing your raw emotion. There's no weakness in that at all. And part of the reason why I got into broadcasting, especially sports broadcasting, is because I am a strong believer in the power of sports. It brings people together. It helps heal. And especially now, we need that more than ever. Without question. We need that more than ever as people, as a society. And above all else, I have to say that that is also a big reason why I decided to do this show today. And it's for the simple fact of the fact that I love sports. But I also admit to myself that I absolutely felt compelled to do something. I was blessed with this platform of being a radio broadcaster, to host my own radio show. And if I could at least help someone out there who is feeling the same thing that we're all that many of us have all feeling, then I've done my part. If you're listening and you're a fan and you're feeling some type of emotional pain due to this tragic loss, feel free, you can call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And I also want to say this, that one thing, and I mentioned this as a tease at the end of the first break, and that is part of what Kobe did to impact my life is that the Mamba mentality and having this relentless pursuit to be the best at what you do in terms of your craft, it wasn't just only as it relates to basketball. It wasn't only as it pertained to just sports, that it truly is a way of life. And that in more ways than one, it's amazing how the people who are most successful in their craft, regardless of what field it is, there's something to be said about the way that they work. And not just the way that they work, but their approach. How do they approach it? What's their outlook? What is the way in which that they see themselves getting better each and every day? And that was part of the many lessons that Kobe has taught me and so many other people. And the lessons that he has taught us is that if you want to become among the very best at what you do, you have to be willing to put in the work. There's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts to success. And Kobe exemplified that in every single way during his playing career. And even more so, his post-playing career with his ventures, you know, getting into the entertainment business and, you know, getting into business and so forth, and being there as a father. And I want to touch on that very thing in the next segment. And that's why I take that lesson, what he has taught so deeply. And that is because when you have a passion and you're passionate about becoming great, like in my case, becoming an all-time great broadcaster, you have to be willing to grind. You have to be willing to work. In Kobe's case, his pursuit was to surpass Jordan's legacy. But not only that, he wanted to rip your heart out. That competitive drive, that will to say, you are not going to outwork me. You are not going to not allow me to be great. And that's part of the greatness and one of the many lessons that I have taken to heart. And one of the reasons why his death has impacted me so much is because I don't look at him as an all-time great basketball player, and I'm just among the many millions of people who have been fortunate and watched him for years on TV. But it was the many lessons of life that he shared with us all. And that his loss and his death, it's hard to put into words. It's hard to put into words as to what he meant to me on both the sports level, but as well as the lessons that he learned and that he imparted upon us all in a magnificent book that I'm making a vow to myself that I'm going to read. And that is The Mamba Mentality. There was a book that he wrote, and it was released in 2018. It was called The Mamba Mentality by Kobe Bryant. I haven't read the book yet, but I absolutely vow myself I'm going to read that book to pick up on the nuggets of gold that I can learn, from all of this. And I hope for sure that through it all, I end up becoming better because of it. Coming up next, Kobe the father, and why his glowing love for his kids meant so much to so many in terms of his recognizing of his importance in their lives. And that is something that he took with him to the very end. That, plus your phone calls, you're welcome to call in, as always, at 855-WMFO, 855-915-9636. You're listening to The Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Toss Freeform Radio.
It's likely that you're hearing many personal anecdotes about Kobe Bryant, so here's mine. I met Kobe one time, backstage at an event for ESPN in New York, and I saw him and I thought, oh my gosh, that's Kobe. I gotta get a picture for the gram. That's the picture. I didn't get it for a few minutes because as I approached him, he immediately commented on my rather large 8-month pregnant belly. How are you? How close are you? What are you having? A girl, I said, and then he high-fived me. Girls are the best. I asked him for advice on raising girls, seeing as though he quite famously had 3 at the time, and he said, just be grateful that you've been given that gift because girls are amazing. His 3rd daughter, Bianca, was about 1.5 years old at the time, so I asked if he wanted more children. And he said that his wife, Vanessa, really wanted to try again for a boy, but was sort of jokingly concerned that it would be another girl. And I was like, 4 girls, are you joking? Like, what would you think? How would you feel? And without hesitation, he said, I have 5 more girls if I could. I'm a girl dad. When it came to sports, he said that his oldest daughter was an accomplished volleyball player and that the youngest was a toddler, so TBD. But that middle one, he said, that middle one was a monster. She's a beast. She's better than I was at her age. She's got it. That middle one, of course, was Gigi. When I reflect on this tragedy and that half an hour that I spent with Kobe Bryant 2 years ago, I suppose that the only small source of comfort for me is knowing that he died doing what he loved the most, being a dad, being a girl dad.
That was Ellie Duncan on SportsCenter yesterday. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford on Tufts Freeform Radio. As mentioned, towards the end of the last segment, I mentioned that that part of Kobe's ambiance and even his pride was in being a dad. And as you heard in the clip with Ellie Duncan, that he was a father of 4 young girls, of 4 children. And the thing that strikes me in which that we know, in which that we now know, is he spent every waking moment that he could in terms of being a father with his children. And even at the thing that struck me was the fact that they were on their way to a basketball tournament at the Mamba Academy when the helicopter crashed in Calabasas, California. And the thing that hits home is that I can't even begin to fathom and imagine what those moments may have been like in terms of all he wanted to do was the fact that he was with his daughter and he perished with his daughter on his way to support her in supporting her dreams. And the fact that he took immense pride in passing down whatever he knew to his daughter. That's the part where it hits different. It hits very differently. And although I'm not a father yet, I hope one day that I do in fact get married and, you know, have children of my own, hopefully, that I think about the sacrifices that my own parents have made for me, my mom and my dad. and that I can only imagine when what it's like as a parent to invest so much into your child, into to breathe life into your child, to support your child. And I think it's so important that we celebrate the fact that at the very end, he was there. He was there for her. He wanted to be there for his child, and for all of his kids. He wanted to be there for them, to spend as much time as he could with his children. And I really have to salute him. And I want to wholeheartedly salute him right now for the fact that, I will tell you this, for the fact that as a man of color, as an African American, and for those that understand the importance and the significance of this in terms of being as an African American man in this country, and especially in the way that African American fathers are portrayed in this country, what's understood doesn't need to be explained. That resonated to me, that I really can't believe just how, I can't even believe just the amount of pain that his oldest daughter must be feeling right now. And I hope and pray that his wife and the three other girls and his three other kids receive the strength and the support that they need right now more than ever. And ladies and gentlemen, as a tribute to Kobe Bryant, I want to take 24 seconds, starting at 11:54 sharp, to do a moment of silence in honor of Kobe and the impact that he's made on this world. So 11:54 sharp, beginning now. Thank you. Kobe, that was for you. That was for you. And to continue on this very topic, I think it's really remarkable, and just it's so important that he was truly active in their lives, and that he wanted to be there. And I gotta say this, that considering all things and everything that Kobe has gone through throughout his career and life, that nothing was more important to him than his family, and it showed through actions, not just words, but through actions. And I can't help but feel a piece of joy in terms of, and I tell you, because it's so important that he really took the time on just how he really wanted to make a point to be there for his daughters. And this clip here is specifically from CBS This Morning, in which Dana Jacobson, the reporter for CBS, she talked about how that not just that Kobe Bryant was a businessman, but he, more importantly, he was a proud family man, and that he approached coaching his 13-year-old daughter. This is, again, courtesy of CBS This Morning, Dana Jacobson with the report.
Kobe Bryant was, of course, a basketball legend, but also a businessman, an author, and a husband and father. Bryant would routinely skip going to Lakers games after his retirement to attend his daughter's games. CBS This Morning Saturday co-host Dana Jacobson spoke with him about his family last fall. She's outside the Staples Center in Los Angeles, which, as Alicia Keys has said last night, is really, of course, the house that Kobe Bryant built. Dana, what's happening there?
Well, Anthony, as you can see, we've got this makeshift memorial. Gail mentioned the keepsakes that are there from the fans paying tribute to Kobe Bryant and his family. Athletes also remembering Kobe. So many of them pointing to the father that he had become. Derek Jeter, in an online posting, wrote that despite Kobe's athletic gifts and his obsession to win, he always put family above everything. And that was something that, when we spoke back in October, was quite apparent.
Are you enjoying being able to have time with them?
Oh, I am.
Kobe was the man of the house he shared with wife Vanessa and their four daughters.
You're the only man. What is the Bryant household like?
I'm very comfortable with where I'm at on the totem pole.
Kobe told me he was enjoying more time with daughters Natalia, Gianna, Bianca, and newborn Capri. His main job since retiring in 2016, dad.
In your house, do they look at you and go, "Dad, just stop, be quiet, leave
me"?
Yeah,
oh my God, yeah. Like, I never know what I'm talking about. I have absolutely no say-so. And they do it tongue-in-cheek, but they mean it.
Except maybe when it came to basketball. Kobe's 13-year-old daughter, Gigi, had developed her own love of the game.
You coach Gigi's basketball team.
Yeah.
What's the biggest challenge in coaching your own daughter?
Making sure she knows that I love her whether she plays well or plays like crap.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's fine. You know, you're my daughter before you're a basketball player.
Is there a different sense of pride in watching her out there as her coach, being there?
What I love the most is that we've gotten to a place now where she sees something that's making her uncomfortable on the court. She'll come up and say, "Hey, Dad, this is what's happening. This is what I'm feeling. What should I do here?"
Kobe's so proud to be the father to those four daughters, but if you think about it, he really was a father to so many others. I said it earlier, but he inspired a generation of athletes, and that included those girls on Gianna's team. The girls left behind, obviously, today, Tony, are dealing with more loss than any of us can even imagine.
Yeah, Dana, we love what he had to say in your interview, that she's his daughter first, a basketball player only second. Mm-hmm. Dana, thank you very much.
That piece right there, that she was his daughter first, basketball player second. And there was also another piece that he said that really resonated, and it hit a soft spot, in which he talked about that, in which he said, it don't matter